Hi, it's Victor Hedman from the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Hedman with a drive, score!
NHL Stadium Series is coming to the Sunshine State. Watch as we take on the Boston Bruins in the 2026 NHL Stadium Series in Tampa. Catch all the action on Sunday, February 1st on ESPN. Visit nhl.com/stadiumseries for tickets and more information. That's nhl.com/stadiumseries, and I'll see you February 1st.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
What?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
What's Eisen?
The Rich Eisen Show.
Are you slightly offended that you were only a $400 clue?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah. Coming up, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Bills head coach Joe Brady. Academy Award winner Casey Affleck. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's take a phone call when we lead off hour number two here. Tom Pelissero is slated to be on a Zoom right now, but he asked for 1 minute. Nope. Because he just broke some news along with some others in our business that the Vikings, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, their general manager, who has been highly regarded for years, just got fired the Friday before we're going to the Super Bowl, at the Senior Bowl. It's just to say we've rarely seen stuff like this, it's just been a wild January. Matching a wild regular season and playoffs. It's just
exactly
the whole thing's drunk. So he's going to join us in a moment. Let's go to Drew in Winston-Salem, just first in, first up here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, sir?
Hey, guys. Hope everyone's doing well in the studio there.
What's up, Drew?
I'm calling from North Carolina, but I'm not a Drake May fan.
Okay.
I'm a Seahawks fan.
Okay. All righty.
So my question for you, Rich, is aside from Sam Darnold, which Seahawks legacy do you think is impacted the most by a Seattle win?
I think Cooper Kupp.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about legacy. He's already got a Super Bowl MVP here. I used a bunch of stats yesterday when I put out my power rankings list for the storylines of the Super Bowl. But, yeah, I mean, let's see if I can find them here just to back up my statement. That it's rare to see a Super Bowl MVP back in the game, back in the bowl with a different team. And, of course, it's the last page that I was able to look for. By the way, I got roasted. I know it's Yakima, Washington, okay?
Oh, did you say?
I think I said Yakima.
Oh.
Yakima. I think I've said it right.
Yeah.
Or should I just botch it completely? Yakima. He's from Yakima.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
Yakima.
He could be the only only two people in NFL history have only one person, he would become the second, has won multiple Super Bowls and Offensive Player of the Year award in their careers at all. And the other one is named Jerry Rice. How does that sound to you, Drew? You could be in a category
that's
Rice.
Good company there.
You know, clearly Mike McDonald, a head coach having a ring, puts you in a different category. John Schneider, you want to talk about him with Pete Carroll turning to him at his press conference when he was being let go by the Seahawks, turning to John, basically saying, Johnny, you know, it's all yours now. And a couple of years later, they win the Super Bowl. That's another one for sure. Drew?
Yeah. Don't forget Jake Bobo. He's a big...
Don't forget Bobo, says Drew in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Thank you for that. Greatly appreciated. Would you agree? I mean, name me another one. Jackson Smith and Jigba, obviously. I mean, anybody wins a Super Bowl, they change, you know...
For sure.
It changes your career. But Cooper Kupp, an MVP of the Super Bowl.
Right, and if he has another great game, maybe he's MVP again. Are we now talking about Cooper Kupp for the Hall of Fame? That's one of those things that changes your legacy and how people think about you.
I don't know. I mean,
Mickey, Julie,
I will just throw this in back in your lap in this way. Julian Edelman is one of the best postseason receivers, okay?
Of all time.
Right? And one of the best in that regard. Is he a Hall of Famer? So Cooper Kupp, though, would be the first, if I'm not mistaken, Super Bowl MVP if he's named that.
For two different teams?
For two different teams.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you really have to consider this.
Puts you on a different level. You know, again, his greatness, short, microwaved a little bit, but to win another MVP, also for his hometown team, I mean, that would be, that's pretty impressive.
Okay.
I think Julian does get in probably years from now on the Veterans Committee, the way we see it go nowadays, but that's just a homer take.
Let's take another phone call here on the Rich Eisen Show. Terrence in Cleveland. Okay.
Okay, Terrence.
Let's check in with Terrence. What's up, Terrence?
Oh, Rich Eisen, my friend. It's been a long time. How have you been, sir?
I'm well, sir. How are you, Terrence?
Oh, Rich, I am doing swimmingly. I actually, now it's been enough time, I can say that my wife and I are expecting our first child, and I need some advice on a particular issue that's come up between us.
Okay.
I'm calling, as you know, I'm a Browns fan. Love them, I hate them. They're my team. But as far and as long as my wife and I have talked about having a family, I've always insisted on our children not rooting for them. That may sound rash, but as an accountant by trade, I love poring over numbers and NFL stats. And here's some reasons why I always insisted my children don't be Browns fans. Since 1999, so that's the last 27 seasons, I should say, that Browns have the least amount of regular season wins against divisional opponents, 500 or better seasons, playoff appearances, playoff wins. They've averaged the highest first-round draft pick in that time, and they have won their division the least amount of times, which is zero. In fact, the Browns haven't won their division since December of 1989, when I was only 9 months old. To add some perspective to that, the Houston Oilers, before they moved, and the Tennessee Titans after they moved, as well as the Jacksonville Jaguars, have all won Cleveland's division more recently than the Browns, and neither of them have been in the division since 2002. So you can understand my reticence in this situation. But here's the thing, Rich. My wife and her family are all Steelers fans.
Whoa.
Now, I've always had a high level of respect for the Steelers organization. For starters, Dan Rooney was one of only two owners who voted against the Browns' relocation to Baltimore. And secondly, more importantly, my grandmother, who I was very close with, who was born in Cleveland, lived most of her life here, was a massive Steelers fan. She used to say she became one on January 9th, 1963, the day Paul Brown was fired. So again, always had a respect for that organization. I was fine with my kids being fans of the black and yellow. That's what my wife wanted, but you know, I didn't want to let them feel the collective disappointment that we have here on Sundays in Northeast Ohio. My wife would always push back and say, no, they should root for the hometown team. But this Christmas, Rich, both of our mindsets seemed to switch because my mother-in-law surprised us with a 3-pack of Steelers onesies. Now, the thought of my son wearing a bright yellow terrible towel onesie angers me to my core. And I know that's a lot to unpack, but I'm asking how to handle this because you're a well-known Jets fan. Your wife is a Patriots fan.
Yes, sir.
So I thought you might be able to offer some guidance in these trying times, and any advice that you could give me would be greatly appreciated.
Start rooting for the Rams instead.
That is definitely not on the table, Rich.
The Rams came from Cleveland originally, Terrence.
Oh, I know, Rich.
My life has become so much better. I'm not going to lie.
Well, it doesn't seem like life is going much better for the Browns, although I'm going to give our new coach a chance. But for my entire life, my grandmother would ask me, plead me to be a Steelers fan with her. She would offer to buy me terrible towels and hats and jerseys. She'd always call me at 4:15 on a Sunday because the Browns are so bad. They always play at 1:00. And she would call me after the game and say, when is Cleveland going to get a professional football team? Because what I just watched ain't it.
Terrence in Cleveland, everybody, as always, a great phone call and
good
great
luck,
performance.
Terrence. Congratulations.
I think I gave him the best possible advice.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I mean.
Joining us now from the Senior Bowl is Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Tom? Appreciate you taking the time.
You got it. What's up, Rich? What's up to the boys in studio
What's
here?
What's up, Tommy?
We're good.
How you doing, man?
What? Let's hit it. What happened with the Vikings? What is going on? What happened?
This was something that there had been rumblings about within the league dating back months, really dating back to, even the prior off season. But at that time, the Vikings extended Kevin O'Connell. They extended Kwesi Adofo-Mensah. They went through this season, which was frustrating on a lot of different levels. Ownership, as part of their normal course, had their, postseason meetings and discussions about, how exactly they move forward here. Clearly, the quarterback decision-making in the last offseason did not work, but it was, a broader type of a conversation than that. They ultimately decided that this was not going to work in the aggregate moving forward. And so they made the decision to fire Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, who had been on the job for four seasons. They had gone to the playoffs a couple of times, had not had the success yet in the playoffs, to the extent that people may have actually known that this was going to happen now. I talked to Kwesi on the sideline at the Senior Bowl 2 days ago. He was down here all week attending practice. I even mentioned something to him because, quite frankly, I had called him a couple of weeks ago because I heard something might be happening. He was like, well, if it is, you know more than me. In the end, they decided to make the move. It occurred today. No other personnel changes in the organization at this time. Rob Brzezinski, who has been there for a long time, like 25, 26 years, he is now going to run all their operations through the NFL draft. I would anticipate that he will lean on the scouts and the coaches. Rob's background is in salary cap and operations. He'll lean on those football people within the building, and then they intend to run a general manager search after the draft. This is, the timing is unique. We've seen GM moves been made at all different times, Rich. We see them made after the draft. We've seen them made in June, July, end of January, 3-4 weeks after the season ends is not common. But clearly the Vikings just felt like, based upon all those meetings they had, that there was not a way to move forward here. Kevin O'Connell remains the head coach. He's one of the top coaches in the business. And they will, when they run this search, be looking for alignment, whether that is with Rob or somebody from the outside.
It's tough to think anything but, Tom, that what's changed between the end of the season and now is the fact that Sam Darnold made the Super Bowl. Is that what's going down? Is it that simple?
Here's what I would say. Outcome-based analysis is always dangerous. There's no way to know when you are going through those decisions last spring that you're going to have the combination of Sam Darnold going to the Super Bowl and J.J. McCarthy suffering three or four different injuries and being an absolute roller coaster ride after missing his entire rookie season because of a meniscus tear. They had a lot invested in J.J. McCarthy. They went into the offseason. They did make an offer to Sam Darnold. It was similar to the Seahawks offer in terms of being a one-year commitment, though it was not as much money as the Seahawks put on the table. Once it became clear that Darnold was going to take that opportunity, they pivoted to Daniel Jones. They had an almost identical offer to Daniel Jones than what he got with the Colts. But Daniel Jones also saw a clearer path for him to be the long-term quarterback in Indianapolis than he would have in Minnesota with J.J. McCarthy still there. So he opted to move to a different spot. The Vikings actually pulled the offer before Jones went there. And then, they traded for Sam Howell. That didn't work out. They signed Carson Wentz. Frankly, Rich, they might have made the playoffs if Carson Wentz doesn't get hurt. If he's not playing those last couple of games, in absolute agony, you get one more win. That's how far out. They missed the playoffs by a half a game. Maybe these things are a little bit different. But, those are, some of the calculations that go into the bigger picture. The Vikings are figuring out how to move forward here. I would say it's an oversimplification to say, Sam Darnold just killed a guy today. But certainly his success, coupled with J.J. McCarthy just not being able to be on track, and part of the broader, the strategies that they've employed here. They signed a bunch of older players who were very expensive. They've got a lot of cap things they got to sort through in the offseason. It just got to that point. There's no kind of untoward stuff here, Rich. There's not, some secret story of why this happened right now. They just ownership met. They felt like this was not going to work moving forward here. And now you know, they'll pursue somebody who they think is a better fit for the organization and for Kevin O'Connell.
Tom Pelissero from the Senior Bowl, which you can catch on NFL Network tomorrow, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. So the Cleveland Browns search is now over. And why did what can you tell us about how Todd Monken wound up there, Tom?
Well, as we've documented, Rich, a very thorough search by the Cleveland Browns
for
their next head coach. So thorough, in fact, that after they got done interviewing Nate Shielhouse on Sunday in Los Angeles for something like 7 hours for the job, they flew back. It seemed at that point like maybe they were close to a decision. Well, they decided they needed more information, so they spent Monday on Zoom with Shielhouse and Todd Monken extensively. Jim Schwartz was also part of that conversation. Ultimately, you know, they decided that Todd Monken was the guy. It always seemed like skewing toward offense was probably more likely, although certainly not, you know, a prerequisite in any regard. With Monken, they get a guy who's been in the building. He was the offensive coordinator under Freddie Kitchens back in 2019, a forgettable year for the Browns, as some others have been as well. You know, he was at Southern Miss as the head coach once before, so he has that experience. You know, his record was not good there, but he did improve from being, I think, a 1 or 2 win team his first year to being like 9-5 or something his final year. So you do have that track record. He has been around development of quarterbacks in good offenses, whether that's at the University of Georgia or with the Ravens. I still, you know, I frankly was surprised that's where they ultimately landed, knowing in part what we reported soon after the hire, Rich, was that Jim Schwartz was going to lose his mind if he didn't get the head coaching job. And that's what happened. He had a meeting that morning as they were finalizing the hire on Monken. He was told he was not getting the job. I've spoken to many people that have spoken to Schwartz and saw his exit. He was not happy. He was visibly upset. He said a few four-letter words, as you would imagine. He cleaned out his office down to, I think there might have been a can of soda left in the fridge, but that was about it. He's got no intention of coming back to the Browns. There's still conversations to be had, though, because they've wanted to keep Jim Schwartz. They've intended to keep him. He is under contract. You know, they can tell him, hey, you're going to coach here. You're not going to coach anyplace else. But also, Jim Schwartz is almost 60 years old. He's been there. He's had success. You would think that they would come to the conclusion that, you know, a guy who's unhappy to be there, that may not be the path forward. But those are all pending further discussions here. I'd imagine they want him to talk to Todd Monken. They want to talk to ownership again once things cool off. We'll see what direction that goes. But there are some teams out there, you know, whether that's the 49ers who are looking for a defensive coordinator right now, you know, any number of contenders, maybe even teams that don't have a vacancy right now. If Jim Schwartz became available, he would be of high interest.
No doubt about it. Wow. The fact that the Raiders and nor the Cardinals have a coach yet. Does that mean they're waiting for somebody in the Super Bowl? And if so, are they waiting for the same guy, Tom?
Clint Kubiak is going to interview with the Raiders and the Cardinals tomorrow. The way that this works is you are allowed to interview coaches from the teams that are in the Super Bowl. If you did a virtual interview in that first week or the second week, depending on the rules, you're allowed to have an additional in-person session this week, but it's at the mercy of when the team gives you that time to do those interviews. So the Seahawks were game planning like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They're practicing, you know, the last couple of days here. Saturday is the first time that he's had that opportunity. And I don't believe that there's been any decisions made on Clint Kubiak's side or on the team side about exactly what direction this is going to go. Usually when teams wait this long, Rich, and we saw this with Kellen Moore last year with the Eagles. We saw it Arizona last time around with Jonathan Gannon. Sorry, my phone's going bananas here. It's been an interesting hour.
I bet.
So usually that would tell you they're waiting for someone. You know, but there's several different scenarios here. It could be the Raiders where you've got Fernando Mendoza in all likelihood is the number one pick. Brock Bowers, Ashton Jeanty. There are pieces to work with, although there's a ton of work to be done across the roster. Max Crosby, what's his future? He wasn't happy at the end of the season. You got to work through that. Arizona, you don't know who the quarterback is going to be. I would anticipate nothing's done, but it would seem the most likely outcome with Kyler Murray is you cut him. You pay him the $40 million you owe him. You don't allow another $20 million to vest in March, and you kind of start fresh, eat it like the Broncos did with Russell Wilson, and just, you know, move forward into the future. But there's a lot of other things on that roster that you have to, you know, try to figure out, okay, are the tools there? I would also say this, Rich, look at both those divisions. Look at who you're going up against in the AFC West. It's Jim Harbaugh, Sean Payton and Andy Reid. In the NFC West, it's Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Mike McDonald. If I were in that position, I might want to go to the division where at least the really excellent coaches are in their 60s, not their 30s and early 40s. That's just me. But those are all kind of parts of the factors, not to mention there's still a scenario where he goes back to Seattle. We saw Ben Johnson do that. We saw DeMeco Ryans do it years ago where you have all the interest. But if you don't feel like this is the right job for me right now, it makes sense to pull back a little bit. So those interviews are going to happen tomorrow. We'll probably have, you know, some answers into, you know, the early portion of next week. But also remember, you can't technically finalize the hire until after the Super Bowl. So there will be nothing binding until we get out to whatever it is, February 9th, the Monday after the Super Bowl. That's the first time that Clint would be able to sign on. Whoever's not getting him, or maybe if both teams don't get him, then you're into Mike LaFleur, who's a candidate for both jobs. Adrian Rivera, the Panthers defensive coordinator, still a candidate for the Raiders. Anthony Weaver, still a candidate for the Cardinals. There's still some moving parts here as this thing moves forward.
All right, Tom, go back to your phone. Thanks for the time, buddy. Have a great broadcast. Have a great broadcast tomorrow in Alabama. Okay? We'll chat next week.
Sounds good, Rich. Thanks.
That's Tom Pelissero.
See you, Tom.
Right here.
All right, brother.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Interesting.
Out of everything there, the Cleveland Browns situation, I want to hit on that. And let's take a break. And it's a What's More Likely Friday as well. Joe Brady of the Bills and Casey Affleck in studio in hour number three. Save money and get a better view of the road when you replace your worn-out wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, save $10 on a pair of Rain-X Latitude wiper blades. They feature beam blade technology to improve windshield contact for maximum visibility. The professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades for free. Choose Rain-X Latitude wiper blades at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or online at O'ReillyAuto.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Listening to this podcast? Smart move. Being financially savvy? Smart move. Another smart move? Having State Farm help you create a competitive price when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling. Just another way to save with the personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. So we're here together, Disney Plus and our radio audience. After Tom Pelissero just talked about the hiring of Todd Monken over Jim Schwartz and how that must be a decision that the owner made. It really, I don't know. I mean, that's all the rumor that you're hearing. But and I don't know. Obviously, an owner's got to sign off. But to go ahead and knowingly piss off the guy who has coordinated the side of the football that has been the saving grace for so many of these Browns teams over the years that have been a bright shining star twice, and then the other times, just a complete disaster. That this guy coordinates the defense for Myles Garrett and everybody else, and you know when you hire Todd Monken, you're going to piss this guy off, but hopefully what? Sit him in the room, get him to sit down with Todd Monken, and say, well, we do see eye to eye about certain things. Yeah, well, I am under contract, and I'd rather get paid than not. I'd rather be involved with the team than not, you know. And, you know, I'll just come around, and I'll come back because, you know, this is the only place contractually where I can coach football. And it is Myles Garrett. It is a place that. But you are also, at the end of the day, walking around a building that you thought you spent much of your month of January thinking, I'm going to be the head coach around here. Now, if they're going to hire some new hotshot guy over me, you know, I guess so be it. Then the new hotshot guy, clearly, they can't expect me to work for the new hotshot guy. Somebody half my age, literally half my age, was in Grant Yudinski. He was the one who was a front runner for a bit. Again, I'm just trying to put myself in Jim Schwartz's shoes. Never met the man. I'm just trying to figure out what somebody at the age of 60 is thinking. And then they hire somebody who's a contemporary of his in age and potentially experienced, but never a head coach in the NFL before. And we're going to go with the guy from the Ravens organization over me here in Cleveland. That is a tough sell. I mean, the Haslams are going to have to, you know, with Monken, they're going to have to, they're going to have to spin some gold there, man. Mm. Certainly when he can go work for the Burgundy in gold, if he makes it, the gold rush up there in San Francisco. Well, if he makes it ugly or decides to dig in his heels, I don't know, man. That is something. And then, you know, Todd Monken is there. This video has made some rounds today of him being in his office, and Shador Sanders coming to visit.
Well, going in
there. Oh, yeah.
Hey, come on in.
What's up, man?
What's up, Chris? How you doing? Welcome back to the States.
How we doing, man?
Good.
Don't try to draft your ass last year. It's all worked out.
Yeah.
You remember that, right?
Yeah, that's what I was about to tell you.
Someday we'll get a chance to talk about that.
Yeah.
About drafting him in Baltimore at the end of the day.
I mean, they had five chances.
Well, so did everybody, man. So did everybody. And it's going to be a sell to the fan base. And again, we don't know who the quarterback is going to be there. I think it's going to be Deshaun Watson. I think that his contract mandates it. His level of experience mandates it. Obviously, this will be something for Todd Monken to answer. And then if Jim Schwartz says, I'll just sit at home, who's going to be the defensive coordinator there for a very talented bunch of guys? Very talented bunch of guys.
Just let Myles Garrett do it.
Right.
If there's anybody who could probably pull off both, it would be him. Chris in Utah wants to join us. What's up, Chris? You there, Chris?
Yes, I'm here, Rich.
All right, head on a swivel, everybody. You're on hold. Yeah. What's up, Chris?
I have a trick question because it's obviously, you know, Shador Sanders should be the franchise quarterback for the Browns. The reason why is he has no one to throw through. Jerry Judy's a solid number two. And if you were to give him an offensive line like Baker had way back when, he'd easily have 3,500 to 4,000 yards a year.
Oh, Chris, that's a pie in the sky you're looking at right there. And I am, as you know, a Shador Sanders fan. And I root for him. And I want nothing but success for him. And I thought he got a raw deal being drafted into this league. It's certainly when he got pranked. Certainly when everybody ascribes to him. Thanks for the call, Chris. Ascribes to him a sensibility that everyone assumed. Right. There's a colleague of ours that's out there saying he shouldn't even talk to Todd Monken, which would be a disaster for him. A disaster for him, because it would play into every stereotype that was improperly ascribed to him.
Yeah.
That he is above it. That he is not worthy of being coached by Todd Monken. Todd Monken's not worthy of coaching someone of his talent. Could you imagine if he gave off that impression? What a disaster that would be for him professionally.
Right.
What an absolute disaster that
would
be.
But if the thought of that.
Oh, my God. He's been working so hard there to show that he is not that kid. But that's for another. That's another show. That's another person.
You know, but real quick, but people only really have negative stuff to say about him or people outside the building.
Right.
Seems like the teammates absolutely follow and love Shador. Man.
And by the way, he balled out. He's also a Pro Bowler.
Well,
listen,
he's playing in the Pro Bowl.
But the money, man, just follow the money. Deshaun Watson is coming back from this injury. Follow the money.
Okay.
And why wouldn't they start with him? Let's just see. Let's just see if Deshaun can stay healthy and can ball out with Todd Monken.
They got to get some, you know, ROI for.
Oh, my goodness. I honestly think that's the way that they're going to go. The question is, you know, what is going on in that building? And fans want to know, okay, so everybody does their job search. And, you know, we're going to go with the Ravens offensive coordinator who's never done it before at the end of the day. I think they would even have bought better, you know, some hotshot coordinator that I've never heard of who's young and up and coming. But we'll see. It'll be interesting. Certainly those Browns-Ravens games.
Right.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll do what's more likely with some nice bit of runway. And then we'll get ready for Joe Brady. We'll get ready for our friend Casey Affleck making to his way to the studio to talk Pats.
Love it.
Well, you're just going to have a sports talk with an Oscar winner. Casey Affleck, still to come right here on this busy Friday edition. A What's More Likely Friday coming up next.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
He's got more of a suntan for the Sports Center than he's got for the NFL Live. I can't get out of my head and just notice these things. Our radio audience has returned. We're looking at all of our looking about my NFL Network. Just put the NFL Network one up one more time here. The PR staff and deciding everyone's just photoshopping. Can we all just get together and take these photographs? Everyone's photoshopping.
Well, no one's in the room together.
How are you going to do that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Just get us all together.
You're never going to be all together.
No chance. Can we teleport? Is that a thing? Because
I mean, look at that. But look at LeGarrette Blount. Just throw him in there behind Baldy. LeGarrette Blount's in the NFL Network studio.
I love that.
Yeah, he's still in uniform.
He is?
Yeah, that's where they got him from.
That's awesome. I mean, Jane looks like a glamour shot.
Yeah, right. Well, for sure. Okay.
Bye from Levi Stadium.
That photograph, I think that's like 8 years old.
It's yeah.
Isn't on your book?
Yeah, Mooch is way grayer now.
Way grayer now.
Okay.
Yeah. I think you should let it go.
I will never let go who decides in the PR department or media department who gets shoulder over who.
I guarantee you it's neither of those departments.
What are you talking about?
It's the graphic design department.
Someone's got to QC it. Someone's got to say, okay, go.
Maybe not.
Print, send.
I don't think so.
We trust our guys at home and do it.
I QC every damn thing around here.
No.
Well, that's because you have issues.
Okay.
Everything? Like, you know,
pretty much.
Every picture that gets put up before we post it.
Okay. All right. Hiring for your small businesses can feel like a full-time job, so it's important you hire right the first time. LinkedIn Jobs AI Assistant takes the heavy lifting out of it. It filters applicants based on the criteria you set and suggests 25 great fit candidates daily so you can invite them to apply and keep things moving for yourself. Get started by posting your job for free at linkedin.com/Eisen. That's linkedin.com/EISEN. And post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. It's a Friday, which means it's time for a pre-Super Bowl week edition of What's More Likely. Hit it.
What? What's More Likely?
Never say never, but never.
What's More Likely, presented by Pella Windows and Doors. You have the floor, Chris Brockman.
All right. What's up, everybody?
Happy Friday.
Jay Philly, good to see you.
Hey.
Okay, let's get right to it. Some news of the day stuff and then kind of a fun one at the end. More likely, a team with a new coach and an MVP quarterback to make the Final Four next year, Bills or Ravens?
We're
going to talk to Joe Brady here coming up. We talked to Jesse Minter yesterday.
I will go with the Bills because the quarterback and the coach are the same in terms of being in Josh Allen's ear, and we're not starting from scratch with the MVP quarterback. He's used to the voice. He's used to the playbook. They all know what everyone can do. Potentially Sean McDermott, his two cents, if you're in any way, shape, or form thinking it might have gummed up a work and he wasn't fully delegating, that we'll see what that looks like. Jesse Minter is yet to hire an offensive coordinator. Don't know who that's going to be yet. This could change my opinion. For the moment, though, you're asking me on this day.
I am.
The Friday before an offensive coordinator's even been hired yet in Baltimore. I will keep my finger on this chess piece while I say it's the Bills that are the more likely candidate in this regard.
Excellent.
Thank you, sir.
Moving on. More likely...
That was very formal. By the way, I appreciate the roadmap before starting of what's coming up and what's more likely, how you've mapped it out.
Sure. Thank you.
It will catch you off guard.
Thank you for that.
It did catch me off guard.
It doesn't want to catch you
off guard. Oh, I see. But that caught me off guard.
I'm not wanting to catch you off
guard. This is it. Gotcha.
This year, we have a last place team from a season ago in the Super Bowl from the AFC.
Yes.
More likely last place AFC team with a new head coach to sniff the playoffs in 2026. Titans, Browns, Raiders.
Well, I mean, the Raiders don't even have a coach yet. How can I even say anything?
Well, you know who their quarterback's going to be, at least.
Fernando Mendoza.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Who I follow on LinkedIn.
I'll go Titans. I'll go Titans.
Buck Bowers.
Because, you know, if you don't have hate, what is it? What is it? What is it? If you don't have haters, you ain't popping.
You ain't popping.
Yeah. Isn't that what he's, right?
No haters, you ain't popping.
Yeah.
And I just
he
like.
Sang that? Who, what song was that?
I just think. As you know, I'm a fan of Robert Saleh. I thought he got a raw deal with the Jets. And he's calling the. He's going to be calling the plays for the defense.
I did see that, yeah.
He said that he didn't want to. He felt like a red flag challenge guy standing around. So he's going to be
got
in
no
the.
Haters, you ain't popping.
Thank you, sir. So I'll go Titans.
Okay.
Cam Ward, year two.
I like Cam Ward.
Ryan Daboll as the offensive coordinator is sneaky, really good.
Dabes.
So, yeah, I'll go Titans.
Call them Dabes.
I'll go Titans.
Okay,
sir.
Great.
Yeah.
I like that. More likely, older Super Bowl winning quarterback to be playing in 2026. Sorry for calling these guys old. Matthew Stafford or Aaron Rodgers?
I'm going to go both.
That's not
it's too bad. I'm calling my shot. Well, I'll go Stafford then.
Follow the rules.
I'll go Stafford.
Okay,
then.
Thank you.
Stafford's going to be 38. Rodgers is going to be 42, turning 43. I have no earthly idea what eight's thinking. I have a general sense. I would think that nine would be loving life and coming back here.
Did the Steelers just hire the line coach that he liked back in Green Bay too?
So, I mean, I'll say both. I know you don't like it, so if I have to choose one, it'll be Stafford.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This
year, is very formal, which is throwing me off.
Well, I don't normally. They're content.
Stay on your toes, baby. You never know where he's going to come.
This year, we had a class of 2024 quarterback become an MVP finalist.
Okay.
Drake May. Probably not going to win, but he had a great season nonetheless, obviously in the Super Bowl. Which class, more likely class of 2024 quarterback, is going to break through and be an MVP finalist next year? Caleb, Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels.
Oh, I'll go Caleb. Why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I?
Well, one of those guys was Rookie of the Year. The other guy was in the Final Four.
I know. Caleb Williams was so damn good, man.
Oh, really?
He's so damn good, man.
Like we're sleeping.
And I'll tell you, Chris, I have to give you some I'll pump you for the Heisman a little bit.
Oh, Caleb.
You were really high on the Caleb Williams, Ben Johnson thing. And I'm like, I gotta see it first. And then they start 0-2.
Which was not great for
and you were saying 4,000 yards, and you were saying he's gonna set records, and he damn near got the 4,000 yards. And everything about, like, he doesn't see the field. He can't run an offense. He can't go through the progressions. He can't just also, he can't ad lib as well as we think. He's afraid to ad lib, or he's uncomfortable to ad lib, and he's never going to get comfortable and all that sort of. He was a dream come true, man. And like I told you, he doesn't throw anyone under the bus. That whole thing, like, yeah, DJ Moore and I miscommunicated in every single person from Chris Collinsworth in real time and everybody else later on in the All 22 world said DJ Moore definitely hosed his quarterback. Fair or not, Caleb didn't. He doesn't throw anyone under the bus. He handles his business superbly. I'll go Caleb. Yeah, hell yeah. Hmm. You wouldn't?
I like that. No, I would too. I think. Okay. I think he's got the
TJ. Would you
set up? Very I mean, well.
Yes.
Okay. What else?
More likely to be the higher total. Okay, hear me out. Some great, excellent, top-notch tennis was played in Australia.
I saw over this
the
morning.
Over the night here, yeah. Djokovic moves on. Carlos Alcaraz, your boy, moves on.
Alcaraz also got the benefit of being allowed to get through cramps with an injury timeout that he did not deserve as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, which caused me to think for a split second.
All in shenanigans?
How am I supposed to get a point off a guy if he's going to be able to cramp and get some pickle juice that he's not allowed to have? You know, I put myself in Zverev's shoes here. So,
five setters, five plus hours, games were stretched out to the max. More likely to be the higher total, games played in the Djokovic-Alcaraz final or total points scored in the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God.
So Djokovic beat Sinner in 48 games.
Thank you for that information.
And Alcaraz beat the other guy whose name I can't pronounce.
Zverev.
In 61, I think, games. Super Bowl total is 45 and a half.
I'll say we'll see more games in Djokovic Alcaraz final. You know, because Djokovic got not one but two matches on the way to this final where he was aided by his opponent not being able to finish.
Yeah.
Including one where he appeared to be finished himself. You know, down, you know, what was even tougher to watch with, or tougher to see for me to witness than watching Alcaraz get that break, leading me to think that I would never be able to get a point off of him now more than ever. is watching any hot Italian tennis player with Susie. And she doesn't hide it in front of the kids.
No,
either.
She's just like, oh, whoa.
Like, yeah. And the kids find it funny. And I'm like, excuse me, do you understand how you wouldn't be alive if your mother acted on this sort of stuff?
Wow.
Okay. Damn fine and hot.
Thank you. That's the way she views Musetti. All right. What else you got?
Two more real quick. More likely, a Patriots legend who's most rooting for the Seahawks in Super Bowl 60. Tom Brady or Bill Belichick?
Why? So
which one is secretly most rooting for the Seahawks?
Well, I would go with Belichick since he feels some sort of animus clearly towards the Kraft family, even after everything played out in the Brady role. What would Tom care about?
Well, Tom, they won so quickly without me.
Oh, come on, man.
What do you mean? This guy's maybe better than I am?
Okay. I think Tom's very secure, and I think Bill will be secure too, but...
Well, he's not even
I think
a Hall
Belichick
of
would be happy for Vrabel, don't you think? He'd be happy for Vrabel. Don't you think?
I don't know. Maybe okay. Not.
What else? Move on.
Vrabel's more of the Hall of Fame path.
I don't choose to go in your direction.
I thought that was a pretty clever one.
Okay.
All right. Lastly, what's more likely to happen first, guys? Giannis gets traded from Milwaukee, or Del Tufo works for us three consecutive days?
I say, well, Giannis, the trade deadline's February, when is it? February 5th?
5th. Yeah. And then,
all right, so next week.
And I assume Del Tufo will be with us all 3 days.
I think he is.
Sure. So, Jay, can you check your book to see what the deal is?
Yeah, yeah. Are you checking your book, Jay?
I have the answers. So.
Okay, well, what's the answer? What is it?
Well, he'll be with you in San Francisco
next week. Yeah, so I'll say next week.
So is Giannis traded by next Friday or no?
But after that, I don't know.
I will then say Del Tufo, not just because I know he's working three straight days for us, but I just have a feeling this sort of stuff can't get done during a season.
Gotcha.
But, all right. Hey. What's More Likely is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors. When it comes to your home, Pella Windows and Doors always have the winning game plan. That's why your neighbors trust them. Visit Pella.com/Eisen. Joe Brady, the newest head coach of the Buffalo Bills, will join us. And then Casey Affleck, Oscar winner, making his way to our studio to chop up Super Bowl 60 for his Pats.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.